In our lesson yesterday, we spoke about those who had accumulated much wealth as a result of their wicked ways. They mistreated those who worked for them. They took them to court and confiscated their property. And we heard what Ezekiel said in chapter 28 and verse 5, "By your great wisdom and by your traffic, have you increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches." There are times when all of us need our hearts lifted up, but let us rely on the hand of God to lift us up that we may stand. And then we listen to Paul as he told Timothy to charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Riches are so uncertain. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Sometimes you think maybe it's like if you would put your money in a sack and there's holes in the bottom. Wealth can take wings and fly away in the morning. Wealth is so uncertain. Why should we depend on it? Today, I'm going to be dealing with chapter 5 in the book of James, verse 7 through 11. In this section, James again is addressing the brothers. The theme is God's overruling providence as applied to the Christian. Here, the scripture assures us that God will, in his own time, fully reward the faithful followers of Christ. I'll read these verses to you. Verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receives the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brothers, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." In verses 7 and 8, James is not trying to prove the doctrine of the second coming or even announce it. James takes for granted that this is the living hope in the early church. He cites the reality of our Lord's coming as a reason for Christians to be steadfast. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." There's two kinds of patience suggested here. Verse 7, James says, "Be patient. Don't be quick to retaliate against the wrongs inflicted upon you by the evil rich man." And the second says, "Be you patient," patiently accepting God's delay in the timing of our Lord's return. The illustration of the seed time and harvest was drawn from the Palestinian experience. The husbandman is the farmer, and the fruit of the earth would be the grain. It was precious because the lives of the farmer and his family depended on it. In Palestine, the grain is planted in the fall and gets the early rain towards the end of October. It gets the latter rain in March and April, just before it ripens. During this entire time, the farmer waits in patience. And the reason for his patience is his hope of a harvest. Our Lord's returning to earth was a great source of hope to the early Christians. So I ask you today, does it still stir up our expectancy as it ought to? If the Lord's return seems to us to be long delayed, or if we relegate it to some remote future, that it has no effect upon our outlook and upon our living, it is clear that we are no longer a New Testament church. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.